Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, ACH has seen some incredible growth over the years, and this is due in part to its continued reliability and digital shifts that have been seen in the marketplace. Now, unfortunately, in the payments ecosystem, we know all too well that where there is growth, fraudsters will follow. But this does not mean that organizations are not being proactive in getting ahead and preventing fraud. In fact, that is going to be the focus of today's episode, where I sit down with Nirmal Kumar, who is the CTO and head of product at Alias Wire, and Sarah Grotter, who is the director of the Debit and Alternative Products Advisory Service at Mercator Advisor Group, to unpack how optimizing for account validation can mitigate fraud and drive faster payments. So there's certainly a lot of insights to unpack on today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Nirmal and Sarah, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today's conversation. We're really going to be taking a look at really kind of how to optimize account validation to mitigate fraud and drive faster payments. Now, Sarah, to open up this conversation, I'd love to get a little bit of insight around ACH and volumes. And I believe that your organization, Mercator Advisor Group, has this really great chart that's taking a look at ACH volumes going from 2017 to an estimate of 2021. Perhaps maybe you could unpack that for our audience and kind of from your perspective, what is it that you're seeing and what does that mean?
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, this is what we're taking a look at in the first chart. We're focusing in on the debit and credit dollar volumes from 2017 to 2020. And then I have an estimate for the data through 2021. And if you think about really even just the maturity of ACH, I think the growth has really been quite steady. I'm showing a 10% CAGR across all years, but really what is really interesting is the rapid growth that we've seen most recently. I'm looking at upwards of 14% between 2020 and 2021. So again, considering the longevity of the ACH network and just the sheer magnitude of dollars running through it, the growth really is kind of dramatic. And so, of course, we want to think about, well, really what's driving this. And of course, the pandemic has certainly played a big role in this recently. So there was a tremendous amount of volume that was pumped through the ACH as a result of the CARES Act and other benefits, such as unemployment benefits. And also, the pandemic also put a lot of pressure on businesses to stop processing checks just because it became such a burden during the pandemic. And that's particularly in, I think, the B2B and B2C channels. And I think what is also generally driving a lot of this growth is just the real desire to create greater efficiencies through more electronic transactions. It's financial institutions as well as businesses that are trying to enact upon a digital transformation. And if we take a look at the last Fed payment study, we see a whole lot of dollar volume from businesses that are still coming from checks. And I think there's just a tremendous amount of opportunity that still exists.
Yeah, thank you for unpacking that there, Sarah. Nirmal, I'm curious to kind of get maybe your kind of perspective on what you're seeing from an ACH growth.
Yeah, I mean, I think last couple of years have been staggering. I mean, these numbers for a mature network like ACH, having 10% growth is amazing. And I think, as Sarah said, a lot of this is driven on due to COVID, but it's a behavioral shift, so it's not going to go away. You know, people who have stopped writing checks and start putting their routing number and account number on an online website is not going to go back to checks. So this growth is here to stay. And I think as the volume grows, the importance of digitization and proper tool increases. And just to give you an idea, the 2022 stat about 26 billion transactions almost translate 81 payments per person in the United States. So that's how efficient the system needs to be. Like if there's any friction in the system, that's how impactful it'll be across the board.
That's a pretty amazing statistic when you think about just how reliant we are as an economy on ACH. And I think that breaking that down onto an individual level is really just amazing. What was it again? It was 80, how many transactions per individual?
81 payments.
Yeah, That's a lot. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And some of the growth has also come from these new digital tools. Like if you see even Venmo and Zelle, they sound like different payment mechanism, but under the hood, they use ACH. And during COVID, P2P volume has jumped greatly. I mean, people are paying for their hairdresser, their lawn mowing through Venmo. And all those transactions are flowing through ACH network. So I think there's multiple factors that are contributing to this growth.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I certainly think all of these data points are certainly fantastic. I mean, especially when we're talking about the growth and the percentage growth and year over year growth that we're seeing. But I hate to be the guy that kind of reigns or has a little bit of a cloud over the parade here. Obviously, with this growth that we're seeing here, unfortunately, sometimes there's issues that come along with that. So, Nirmal, maybe I could start with you, and maybe you could kind of unpack from your perspective at Alias Wire, what are then some of the issues that you're seeing coming from this ACH growth?
Well, as the volume grows, I mean, it's almost logical that the fraud and the error and the return rate increases in ACH. So because there's no validation that happens from the account numbers, anybody who has an account number can enter the account number and make a payment. Anybody can fat finger account number and make a payment, and error happens, and that causes service disruptions and all sorts of friction in the payment pipeline, if you will.
Yeah, that's certainly a very, very valid point there. Sarah, curious, maybe from your perspective, anything that you could see in terms of just maybe issues that can kind of come from an ACH growth that we've been seeing?
Certainly the concept around there are always going to be errors that occur, and just trying to make that process as simple from a recovery perspective as possible, but also taking a look at all of those things that providers can do. And by providers, I'm thinking about the businesses that might be using ACH or the financial institutions that are helping to process ACH can do on the front end to really try and mitigate some of those issues, whether it be things like bad data in the system or perhaps keeping out bad actors from creating fraud in the system.
Okay. Yeah. So I certainly think that is really interesting. Now we know recently, as it particularly relates to ACH, Notcha did come out with a new account validation rule, and we'll get further into that in a moment. But first, let's keep it a little bit high level here. So Nirmal, perhaps maybe you could explain the importance of account validation and then also kind of tie in, how is the marketplace really supporting it?
Yeah. So I think if you think about it, when you use your credit card, everything happens online and it gets validated and you never have to worry about it getting rejected. I mean, think of the same money movement using an ACH, where the entire onus of entering the accurate account information is on the payer. And inaccurate information almost causes what I call the pipe freeze. And eventually they thaw and the account's set up and the payment is kicked back and the fraud is realized. But that almost takes 4 or 5 days to happen. And that slows down the entire system. So bank account validation can really improve that efficiency and that reduce that friction to keep moving everything at the right pace. So if you think about this rule that went into effect, March 21 this year, that requires account validation for the first use of any bank account that goes into ACH network. And the rule is good, but as fragmented as the US banking system is, the payment ecosystem is still adjusting. There are so many banks and so many different accounts, and there's no single scheme that anybody can follow to validate the account.
Maybe this is a bit of an unfair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway and see if you have a sense of this. If all participants were using account validation, do you have a sense of how much greater efficiency there would be in the network if everybody followed through? I mean, could we increase the overall transaction volume by maybe 5 or 6% if account validation solutions were in place and we got rid of some of the issues caused by that?
Yeah, I mean, I do believe if the account validation is done the right way, it can greatly increase the volume and the user experience. And just to put it out there, account validation is not a new thing. It has always been there, but it was more of a discretionary thing. People have used pre-notes and micro-deposits since the beginning of the time when you like link your checking account to your trading account and make large transfers. That happens, but that takes time. And in this day and age of faster payments, that is just not viable. So a next generation account validation can certainly give the user the confidence to use the ACH effectively. Otherwise, if they drop off, they have too many errors, they're just going to drop off of ACH and use card, which in turn will increase cost for the originators.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for that there, Normal. And one thing I kind of want to hone in on is I think that you were giving us a little bit of a history lesson in terms of just account validation of where we are and where we can kind of came from. But perhaps maybe you could kind of put a little bit finer scope on that. So maybe you could kind of walk us through a little bit more on that history lesson of where did account validation used to be and where are we currently right now? So maybe we can kind of see the progress that the industry has made.
Yeah, so historically, in high-risk transactions, originators have used pre-notes and micro-deposits for the first use of account. You might have seen, two small dollar amounts getting deposited into your checking before your payroll starts and things like that. So that almost takes a 5 to 7 business day turnaround time. But this day and age, everything happens at the speed of light. I mean, just look at same-day ACH. The ACH happens within the same day. So the newer tools, especially the third-party service providers and some of the platform approaches have really improved the scope of it. It just needs a multi-prong approach because the U.S. banking system is so fragmented that there's no single source of truth that you can refer to and validate counts. So it really has to have a platform approach that where you can mix and match different tools to provide the best experience as far as the account validation is concerned.
Look, I might be getting a little out in front of myself here, but as we think about things in the future around, say, open banking or connected banking, do these account validation tools play a part of that as well?
Yeah, they do. I mean, you might have experienced yourself these days when you connect a new account, can use services that instantly validate the bank account and connect the two financial institutions so you can move money within minutes. So as the banking becomes more democratized, I think these tools are very important and essential.
Yeah, and I'm glad, Normal, that we kind of brought up open banking here because I think that that's kind of this could be a direction that the U.S. is headed here. But you also brought up the term platform here, which really kind of perked up my ears on that because I think when we kind of take a look towards the future here, I then have to ask the question, is that when you're bringing up the term platform, do you really see that kind of being the modern way for account validation? Is that kind of really what modern account validation should look like, kind of that platform play? Or you could kind of dive into that a little more.
Yeah, so I think one of the key concerns that the payment ecosystem is adjusting is the cost. Because as you know, ACH is the most cost-effective way of moving money. Now, as soon as you add account validation and start using third parties, that cost jumps to almost 5 to 6 times. And to mitigate that kind of cost, you need almost a platform approach where you are not reacting to the account validation, but you are proactively using your existing data, you're using multiple providers, you're using the payment history to determine whether the account is valid or not. So that kind of cost optimization can only be brought in by a platform approach and not by a single source.
All right, excellent. Well, I think we'll wrap it up on that positive note there. So, Normal, Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time today for talking to me about how to optimize account validation to mitigate fraud and drive faster payments. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.